Hey everybody, Jason Burmis here, and chalk up reason 100,526,368 that we should be leaving the United Nations, and the United Nations should be leaving our country all together. Get it on out of here. Let me say it again. Get it on out of here. It has been a mouthpiece and vehicle for not just globalization, but a very real New World Order agenda of sustainability, which we will show you is really about what? The reduction of the standard of living by which you're allowed, okay, and the management of the population via population control or population stabilization, depending on how you want to look at it. And this article that we're going to be highlighting to here today, and really we could read the whole thing, we might read the whole thing, is very frank. And so frank that when it started going viral today, despite the fact that it had been around since November of 21, I actually got it sent to me in a group text message. I believe it was my boy Tony Cavallo who put it out there. Other people chimed in. I saw people starting to give it to me via Twitter. And when I clicked on the link, guess what? Went a little too viral. No. Gone. United Nations doesn't want that bad press. But because of the Wayback Machine, okay, we're going to read The Benefits of World Hunger, and it's striking, okay? And by the way, it's not real, all right? It's an excuse for the oppression of populaces. And I'm going to show you, actually, Claire Daly talking about how Africa is really the richest resource nation on the planet, and it is only through its exploitation that it appears so poor. Because they don't share with the people. That's not the driving force. In this article, they're going to be talking about how a hungry populace is a populace that likes to work. Okay? And if they're hungry, they work harder. This is authored by George Kent. But again, it is a mouthpiece for the agenda. So let's start reading this thing in a moment. But first, thumbs it up, subscribe, and share. Realize that we have been kicked off of this platform several times. The strikes I've always gotten are 100% unjust, and I can't do it without you. Let me repeat it. Cannot do it without you. So come on over to the Rockfin, rumble it up, or check me out over on Podbean as well. Other great ways to follow all my work. And by the way, Invisible Empire, A New World Order to Find will be featured in this when you have a representative of Africa talking about how the United Nations is basically corrupt and this whole New World Order thing might be a bad deal. This is like back in the 90s, okay? So Invisible Empire, New World Order Defined, Shade the Motion Picture, Fabled Enemies, Loose Change, Final Cut, they're all free. I want you to share them and consider buying me a coffee. Let's get into it. We sometimes talk about hunger in the world as if it were a scourge that all of us want to see abolished, viewing it comparable with the plague or AIDS. But that naive view prevents us from coming to grips with what causes and sustains hunger. Hunger has great positive value to many people. A lie. Hunger has a great value to a minute predator class hell-bent on regimenting all human beings and exploiting them, okay? And not, there are different levels of exploitation. We're talking mass genocide level and normalizing that, by the way. But hey, you know what? The World Health Organization, part of the United Nations, right? They're an authoritative source. So if the World Health Organization comes out and tells you that, you know, world hunger is beneficial, it must be. It must be, right? It has to be. That's just the way the cookie crumbles these days. Indeed, it is fundamental to the working of the world's economy. Yeah, to oppress us. Hungry people are the most productive people, especially where there is a need for manual labor. So they are telling you the psychology of a populace that will always be, what, trying to sustain just their hunger on that edge so they can exploit them for manual labor. Huh, what's going to happen when the automation comes in? Weird. I wonder what they'll do with all those people they don't need to do the manual labor anymore that they've already decided are working harder because they're not giving them food. We in developed countries sometimes see poor people by the roadside holding up signs saying, we'll work for food. Actually, most people work for food. It is mainly because people need food to survive that they work so hard, either in producing food for themselves in subsistence level production. We're going to get into subsistence level and sustainability, don't worry. Or by selling their services to others in exchange for money. How many of us would sell our services if it were not for the threat of hunger? Well, again, you're getting into base levels here. You know, obviously, food and shelter are the two main things that human beings need to survive. They're also going to need electricity and technology to thrive. Okay, transportation being another one. More important, how many of us would sell our services so cheaply if it were not for the threat of hunger? When we sell our services cheaply, we enrich others, those who own the factories, the machines, and the lands, and ultimately own the people who work for them. Oh, you see, people are owned. Again, this is a really frank, in-your-face article about how they feel about the plebs, okay, the peasant class, the serfs, from a predator class mindset. For those who depend on the availability of cheap labor, hunger is the foundation of wealth. Wow! Hunger is the foundation of wealth. it's so short, we're reading it all. The conventional thinking is that hunger is caused by low-paying jobs. Couldn't be that. For example, an article reports on Brazil's ethanol slaves, 200,000 migrant sugar cutters who prop up renewable energy boom. Again, they're always trying to prop up the renewable energy boom because it's about sustainability and it's actually about population stabilization, aka population control. Okay? While it is true that hunger is caused by low-paying jobs, we need to understand that hunger at the same time causes low-paying jobs to be created. Who would have established massive biofuel production operations in Brazil if they did not know there were thousands of hungry people desperate enough to take the awful jobs they would offer? Who would build any sort of a factory if they did not know how many people would be available to take the jobs at low pay rates? Well, I'll tell you who. The people that you regulate out or put high tariffs on so they can't just go into third world nations and make a profit and exploit these people. You know, we always talk about in this country, social justice, living wages, right? Minimum wage. And I'm for that. Inflation has crushed the dollar, crushed it. And then there are special programs for large companies and corporations such as Google that don't pay any taxes. Apple don't pay any taxes, but the little guy does, all right? So, you know, they get around these things even further by exploiting second and third world nations, Africa in particular, okay? But they're talking about South America, also another place this happens. Much of the hunger literature talks about how it is important to assure that people are well fed so they can be more productive. That is nonsense. I mean, this is hardcore. No one works harder than hungry people. Yes, people who are well-nourished have greater capacity for productive physical activity, but well-nourished people are far less willing to do that work. Man, let's not empower people to be healthy and well-nourished and think for themselves and organize. I mean, this is... beyond ludicrous. People need to share this. This is not a parody. This is not the Babylon Bee. This is what was on the United Nations website up until today, because it started to go viral. And by the way, 138 watch and only 58 likes. Can we get it up to 100, please? For those of us at the high end, I want to go back to this. The non-governmental organization Free the Slaves defines slaves as people who are not allowed to walk away from their jobs. It estimates that there are more than 27 million slaves in the world. I think that's a low number. That's a low number. Including those who are literally locked into workrooms and held as bonded laborers in South Asia. However, they do not include people who might be described as slaves to hunger. That is, those who are free to walk away from their jobs but have nothing better to go to. Maybe most people who work are slaves to hunger. That's actually correct. Not most people, but most people put in these situations. For those of us at high end of social ladder, ending hunger globally would be a disaster. Wow. Disastrous to feed people. If there were no hunger in the world, who would plow the fields? Who would harvest our vegetables? Who would work in the rendering plants? First of all, there are plenty of people that would do those jobs, especially if they paid well and had health benefits and had a 40-hour work week. Let's stop with the Johnny nonsense. It's just total bull. Total jackassery. Period. You get it? So that idea is Dunsky and Hutch. But, you know, it's one of those things where people just can't even believe that this is a real thing. It's real, okay? And by the way, these are the jobs that automation could come in and take part and already are, but they want to make you into the bad guy, okay? And you're the useless carbon, and you're not part of the sustainability program. Who would clean our toilets? Who would have to produce our own food and clean our own toilets? We would have to produce our own food and clean our own toilets. Many of us do clean our own toilets, by the way. No wonder people at the high end are not rushing to solve the hunger problem. For many of us, hunger is not a problem, but an asset. It's not many of us. It's not many of us. Shameful article by George Kent. Again, they have taken it down from the United Nations webpage. This is from November of 21. So been around about 7+ months. And as of today, as you can see, down, down. Went a little too viral today. So the next thing I do, I want to show you this little clip from Invisible Empire, where you have a gentleman from Africa basically talking about how even when the rules favored him and his nation to try to, you know, feed his people, have sustainable living, real, you know, real progress, real growth, not the kind of nonsense they're talking about. No, not allowed to do it.
While many began to become critical of this order, the term began to evaporate into the background.
We are very, very skeptical of an international order if we are not sure how the rules will be made, because thus far, the international order has been made with rules that we had no input into and that affect us. And even when on the few occasions when the rules will seem to favor us, then they get changed.
And that's how this whole globalist agenda works. They act like they're benevolent, and they're going to give everybody a fair shake, but anybody that they can exploit and dominate, no mas, not going to happen for you. And this is from this week. You can find this on my Twitter feed. I think that Claire does a great job of laying this down.
I voted for the report also. I'd like to compliment my left colleagues who acted as rapporteurs. There's a lot of really good stuff in it about safeguarding food sovereignty, preventing deforestation and degradation, and many more issues. But the truth is, it's a million miles from the reality of EU-Africa trade policy as it exists now. Because our economic relations with Africa are simply a continuation of European colonialism, perpetuating exploitation by other means. Africa trades more with Europe than it does with itself. It's portrayed as a poor continent, but actually it's the richest. It's just that the people there are denied the fruits of their land and their labour by unequal economic relations, by unfair trade rules, by illicit capital flights into the Western banks, and by multinational corporations allowed off the leash by Washington, London and Brussels. This report would begin to change that, but you know, I think it'd take a revolution to actually make that a reality.
Oh, we can't talk about revolutions. And she laid it down, man. It is a progression of the colonial nature of how these things were set up. And now we're going to go to our buddy, Dennis Bushnell, because the sky is falling. And this whole sustainability agenda under the United Nations and the people behind it are always talking about what? The collapse of our ecosystem. Global warming in particular, climate change in particular. But Bushnell always frames it in a certain manner. And this is all the way back in 2011 at the Blue Tech Forum. And by the way, if you go to the document, okay, from 2001, his Future Strategic Warfare document, okay, population stabilization is in here. Okay, that's the real deal. Stabilize the global population, right here. And it changes everything. Altered politics, altered military outlooks worldwide, changes everything. The demise of the U.S. underclasses, huh? Equalization of the haves and have-nots. So again, they always have to start it with a problem. And their problem, let's get 100 thumbs up, guys, is that we've ruined the ecosystem. The ecosystem is crashing.
The ecosystem appears to be crashing. Freshwater shortages, you people know that, that's what you hear. Species extinctions, the emergence of fragile human-engendered monoculture biomes. There's the climate change stuff, pollution of all manner, deforestation, loss of topsoil and wildlife habitat. The humans are practicing anti-terraforming, where terraforming is what you do to make the ecosystem more salubrious for humans. In fact, prevention of collapse of the ecosystem has now become the overwhelming issue.
See, that's the overwhelming issue. It's not you. It's not the economy. It's we have to protect the ecosystem against people. Okay, you starting to get it? Maybe that's why hunger is so beneficial.
Current food production is based on freshwater plants, i.e. glycophytes. We're running out of fresh water, as you know. The code word is sustainability.
It's a code word. You understand that? What's it a code word for, Dennis?
The crashing of the ecosystem is due to population growth and the way we're now living, our standard of living. The estimates vary between 30 and 50% of a planet that we're currently short to sustain the standard of living and the current population, much less the population growth. As the Asians and their billions come up as they are at 9 to 11% growth rate to Western standards of living, we're going to be short three more planets, and they're not readily available. This will result in peak everything.
So peak everything for you. This is over a decade ago. Your standard of living is about to plummet, right? Because the Asians and their billions are coming up. And all of this is because what? We can't stabilize the population from 10 years ago. I'm sorry. We don't have a population that we can supposedly sustain from 10 plus years ago, let alone the growth. So what are we going to do, Dennis?
This will result in standards of living plunging. There's a partial solution to this, and that is to switch to halophyte salt plants grown on wastelands and deserts using saline salt water.
See, he actually says that this isn't a partial solution, that if we did this, it wouldn't be a problem. But again, there has to be what? Scarcity. We have to be the problem. That way you can offer solutions and regiment and regulate and ultimately, right, genetically modify the species. Genomic modifications. He actually talks about lowering the bridge in this. Again, in his document right here. Let's take me out of it. natural, genomic, biohacking, bacteriological, prions, parasites, viruses, fungi, carcinogens, toxins, hormones and regulators. Oh, hormones. They could be fatal to disabling, short to long time scales, huh? Detectable, direct and undetectable, aka binary, aka bionanotech. Look at that. Genomically individual and societal targeted pathogens. Nice. Binary agents into vitamins, clothing, and food. Just great stuff, right? Just great. There it is right there. The genomic design and repair of the human species. All right here, Dennis. Thanks, Dennis. Let's hear it from him with the population stabilization coming up. After he tells you again, they have a solution to this.
22 nations are doing this. This literally solves, as I'll get into, land, water, food, which is the halophytes. You can grow just on a goodly portion of the Sahara sufficient biomass to replace all the fossil carbon fuels, to provide petrochemical feedstock for all the plastics anybody wants, and grow enough food so everybody gets to eat, and return some of the 68% to 70% of the fresh water that's now used for conventional agriculture, as advertised, solves land, water, food, energy, and climate.
So this is Malthus 101. It's Malthusianism. It's the value of a life, right, Dennis?
So this is Malthus 101. These innate ecosystem restrictions and shortfalls will necessarily shift world econometrics from a growth mantra to one of sustainability, with possible population control instigated along the way.
Population control instigated along the way. Stabilization of the world's populations. The equalization of the haves and have-nots that changes everything. Right, Dennis?
It changes everything.
That's it. So the benefits of world hunger over at the United Nations taken down today. We read the whole article. Not going to be talking about this one on the mainstream. Consider supporting the broadcast. Buy me a coffee. The links are down below. Rockfin, 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 almost 60,000 strong. If you hit subscribe, $9.99 a month, $99.99 for the year. You get everybody's content. It's like a Netflix for creators, another great way to support me. And then we are Rumbling. I need subscribers over on Rumble. I need to share on the Rumble links. That's where we're uncensored, as well as Rockfin. And you can also find the audio versions of my uncensored broadcast where over at Podbean. And when we do it live on Podbean, by the way, you can even call in via the app. Guys, check out the documentary films, Loose Change, Final Cut, Fabled Enemies, Invisible Empire, A New World Order to Find Shade the Motion Picture. Share them. Thumbs this up. Subscribe. Share. It's not about left or right. It's always about right and wrong. And we must become the great resistance to this very real Great Reset agenda that likes to talk about the benefits of world hunger. I love you guys, and I will see you on the flip side.